God is good.
All the time.
Not only in 2012, but when?
All the time.
Not just on Tuesday? No? How about Thursday? Is he good on Thursday too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah?
And today for sure, right?
Yes.
Amen. Well, if you don't think about anything else your whole life, but you just think about how good God is and that he's good all the time, you'll make it just fine. Because you won't be expecting a bunch of junk in your life. God is a good God. He's good all the time. And every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. God doesn't have mood swings. Oh, gee. I just love to talk about my daddy. He just loves you so much. More than most of us will ever realize. And I'm so comforted to know that. Because it's getting, people's hearts are getting cold. You can see it in our culture around us. But we need to keep reminding each other that God is good to us and he loves us with an everlasting love. And he has the absolute best. I was praying with Alex last night. Anybody remember Alex from Canada that came down? He called me last night, and we've been trying to make this work for the last three nights, and finally we connected. And while he was talking with me on the phone and we were praying together, we would take turns praying back and forth, praying blessings on each other and our families and the church and the coming new year. This verse came, and it was like what Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's not stingy. He's not cheap. He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Some people think he's El Cheapo, but he isn't. And he wants to give us everything that he has. He's made it available to us. And what we do with it, well, that's up to us. But today, I've been excited about coming today because I've looked at 2013 and been really trying to discern what the Lord would have us look for together as a church and as a body. And I want to save that for the main part of the service this morning. But just don't be looking at the bad side of things. I mean, unsaved people, they can't look at good because they don't see any good. But we as believers, we do serve a mighty God, an awesome God. And God's not moved by our calendar. He's moved by his Spirit. Weather changes, but God doesn't change. People change, but God doesn't change. Our promises change, but God's never do. So this morning, as we spend time together, I know it's going to be a real quality morning, and we should leave here so encouraged coming into a new year that we don't have anything to fear, for the Lord is here. And not only that, but he's in you and working in your lives by his Spirit. And that does not make you a weak and fearful person. That should cause you to be courageous, ready to rip the head off a lion that gets in your way, like David did. Well, who has a testimony this morning, a praise report of God's goodness to you this last week? Okay. Well, the opening scripture I have this morning, it's not an unfamiliar verse to you. I'm sure that many of you probably have this memorized. It comes from Jeremiah 29 in verse 11. And it has to do with God's plan for our lives. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And I have this in the NIV version 2, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Glorious promise from God Himself concerning every day of our lives, but people generally start thinking about a new year beginning in a couple days and what people go through to make all these resolutions that you never planned to keep anyway, so you just ought to quit all that foolishness. It sounds nice, but I found that the greatest change in my life has happened when I allowed God's plan to work in my life that He had from the beginning, from before the foundation of the world. And He had a plan for every person's life, and He still does. And so I don't make New Year's resolutions. I haven't made any since I've become a believer. Because if I decide that I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, what about the God factor? What about what God is capable and able of doing in my life? If I just allow His Spirit to work in me, then I make a vow to the Lord that I am willing and open. I don't know anything. The more I think I know, the less I find I know. And true knowledge is everything I learned after I knew it all. And yet, He has a wonderful plan. And He said, "I know the plans that I have for you." To me, that tells me that God is not just some cosmic cowboy out flying around in space and running us through little cages and rat holes and obstacle courses here on earth in this game we call life. It tells me that He's meticulously thought very much about each one of us individually and how much He loves us and cares for us and desires the absolute best for us. Because each one is unique. And His plan for Karen might not be the same as for Simone's. But you can surely know that it's a good plan. I mean, who could design a plan, a blueprint for our lives better than Him? The Master Builder, the Creator Himself. "And I know the thoughts that I have towards you, plans to prosper you and to not harm you." If you ever want to know what God's will is for your life, don't read your insurance policies. God gets a bad rap. He gets blamed for all the evil. He gets blamed for all the accidents, all the destruction. That's not His plan for our lives. His plan is to prosper us. And that doesn't just mean get a fatter wallet. It means that a life of victory and overcoming, that we are able to walk upright in newness of life as born-again believers, walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, freely exercising the gifts and the skills and the talents that He's put inside of each one of us. He causes us to win. He calls us overcomers, more than conquerors. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. It's not to be prideful. We're declaring the truth of His Word. His plan for you is to prosper you, to bless you, to cause you to rise above the quality of life that we knew before we knew Him, and not to harm us. Boy, that flies in the face of a lot of doctrines I've heard. God allowed that or put that on your life to teach you something. What Bible are you reading? I bring my funny Bible once in a while. I was thinking of that verse that Barbara spoke this morning. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of three of them on Thursday if we've been good boys and girls and got our goal Sunday school star." Because that's what people think about Him. And we have to set the record straight. God doesn't have to defend Himself. What He's spoken is truth. And as this plan, why would suddenly, right out of nowhere, God decides to change His mind? And 2 days left of this year, and God says, "Whoop! I have to go all the way back to the beginning and I got to make a new plan for you." Why should we come into a new year and be afraid and get all caught up in this political hoopla going on? Man, I just want to be more like Jesus next year than I am today. I want to be more like Him tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more faithful to keeping my word with people. And I just have no desire to even, I have a really hard time getting into a mindset of fear. I don't know any different. I'm like a kid with these things. I never knew what faith was. I never had faith in the word until I got saved. And I'm not going to let people try to hook me up with their fear. I just don't receive it. I can encourage people and pray for people that are in fear. And if there's a spirit involved, God didn't even give us that either. It says in his word, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If God's given us a sound mind, can you imagine him not having one? Where would he get the pattern? He doesn't change his mind. His plan is solid, and it's a good plan, not to harm us and to give us hope and a future. Next year to me is a future event. This afternoon is a future event for me. But I expect God just to be just as good to me this afternoon, shoveling the deck off, as he is here when we're gathered here at this building. Because his goodness never changes. His character never changes. His nature doesn't change. His love doesn't change. And now I'm getting into the message. Gee whiz. Wow, we could just go for now, but we got to have some songs. Yes, Gary.
I like the next verse, Rick. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray, and I will listen to you.
That's right.
I have been reading when you were getting ready for the worship this morning, the Ephesians chapter, in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him was able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That power that works within us, and they brought it back to 3:10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Through the church.
Mm-hmm. God speaks through his people.
Yes, Barb.
In my devotionals, it's like God keeps reiterating the fact that he is God all-powerful. And this week I was reading, I can't remember exactly where it is now about putting it up, but it was how after Christ had finished his work, he was sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and God put all principalities and powers in his control, in his hands. And so, as Christians, we have to remember that our Father is in control of all that evil out there. And he doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to remember that he is God all-powerful. God all-powerful, that's one of his names. I am the God all-powerful. And lots of times, as a human being, I try to handle things myself. And every once in a while, the Lord has to remind me that it's not Barbara all-powerful, it's God all-powerful. And it's hard to take your hands off situations sometimes. But when you do sit back and let the Lord go before you, the outcome is always the right one. And so I guess for me, that's the lesson the Lord is trying to remind me of this week.
Amen.
Yes, Ken?
Yes. Also, I've coined this phrase before, and I'll say it again. What we need to do for the new year, instead of making new year's resolutions for what we can do for ourselves, we need to get a new year's revelation of what God can do for us.
Amen. Revelation is better.
Amen.
Because that produces transformation.
Right.
Information, revelation, transformation. Well, I'll finish this a little bit later, perhaps. I make no promises today. This is going very nicely, and I kind of like it. You are the church, and God speaks through you to be a blessing and encourage one another. But two announcements tomorrow night. Those of you that have a heart willing and able to come, we have a time of prayer at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We relight all the candles, and it's just a very nice atmosphere for prayer. I know many of you have come on New Year's Eve before, and we have communion together, those that are here, and it's just a wonderful way to close out 2012 and welcome in 2013. But the best part is you get to do it a little early so you can still watch the ball fall if you want to. They've been practicing. They don't want any embarrassing moments, but just once I wish somebody would pull the plug just to see what would happen if it didn't fall. My God, millions would be devastated. What if Jesus came instead? Wouldn't that really be awesome? Wow. Instead of the ball falling and all lit up, the sky lights up and Jesus comes down out of heaven with all of his heavenly host. Oh my God. And comes right to Times Square. Wow, the whole world is watching. All over the world, everybody watches that moment. And the Bible says that all eyes will see him when he comes. Wow, maybe it will be Times Square. Oh, my imagination. Wow, yahoo. Anyway, grab a hug. You got a bigger aisle now. Enjoy. Park a burning bush and I kicked it. Oh, dear. Just when we were just quiet then and I was hearing that wind whistling out there, I was just thinking about if the Lord would enable us spiritually to hear the wind of his spirit. People have had their eyes open to seeing angels and other things in the realm of the spirit. But it would be just kind of neat to be able to, when the Spirit, Jesus talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and about referring to him as a wind. And we don't know when and where wind comes from, it just does. I mean, there's meteorological descriptions of the wind, but I was thinking about that with the Holy Spirit and how when we're quiet, we can hear that's going on outside. But spiritually, when we're quiet, we can hear that which is going on inside. That's the wind that really counts. And I'd like to come back to this theme, this today, if you will, and coming into the new year about God not changing and how important that is, because I'm sure that from before the foundation of the world, God had 2013 on his calendar. And the Mayans missed it. And for those of you that weren't here last week, Bethany posted on Facebook about that. For all of you that believe the world is going to end tomorrow, please give me all of your treasures today. Trained that girl well. She was sharing with Daddy one day. Yeehaw! Anyway, coming back to the fact that God doesn't change. Oh, yes, Priscilla. Oh, amen. There you go. Build a bigger quilt. Or more. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Was thinking about the best way to appreciate the fact that God does not change is to think about all the things that do change. How many times do you change your mind in a single day? At least once, probably, right? Giving you grace now, you know, at least once. Maybe more, way up the ante a little bit. What about your direction? What about decisions that we make? Can you imagine if God said, oh, drat, Noah should have done something different. I knew that wasn't going to work out. But he never says things like that. His plan has never changed. And his plan for us is not going to either. Because we're part of his plan. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall abide forever. You can't separate Jesus, God, from His Word. They're all the same. You can't be separated from your Word either. If you speak it, that's who you are. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People don't have to hang around us very long to know what we're really like if we're just quiet and let them speak. Because that's just the way it works. When God spoke, you knew what was in His heart. We have His written word now. When you read the scriptures and you see it from God's perspective, you see His heart in all of it, it brings new life to His word. It shows what He's really like. It shows what His heart is. Well, let's think about other things that change. Clothes. I mean, it should be recycling all the time with those. Usually I wear them until there's nothing left to wear. You'll see them in that bag, Priscilla. Then you'll know. It's time for change. Cars. We change cars, change trucks, vehicles. They get old, they get outdated, they get rusty. God doesn't get old, even though He's called Ancient of Days. I've been called Father Time before. Been called Abraham. Been called Moses in foreign countries. It's kind of an honor, actually, when you're settled in your faith and you're not moved by things. Because you see, that's where God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be silly little freaking out sheepies in the pasture. Wants us to be settled, wants us to be rooted, He wants us to be grounded so that when things are shaken all around us, and they're going to be, where will you stand? Like we were talking about earlier, the fiscal cliff, are you going to jump like a lemming off to with everybody else, or are you going to cling to the rock of ages? That's where we need to be. Changing jobs, changing careers. People change a lot of things in their lives. Marital status, children coming, that's a change in your lives for you too. That's going to be a huge part of your future, because you'll always be mom and dad now. Always, forever, you'll be mom and dad. And that's awesome. Politics. Wow, there's a new wind blowing every day in Washington, isn't there? Yeah, depends on who you listen to. You can tell which way the wind's blowing. Most of them are full of hot air. And I think of global warming, that usually happens every time Al Gore speaks. He's so full of hot air, he warms up the climate. Should invite him to Vermont. Just kidding, that's about as political as this message is going to get today. Aren't you glad? We don't have time to waste all that foolishness on Sundays. We can do that other times. But times we live in, how changeable they are. Times of peace, times of war, times of turbulence. Times change, people change, the weather changes. If you don't believe it, just wait a while, it'll change before tonight. Especially here where we live. All these changes, but the most absolute fact and the most comforting of all is that no matter what changes, God doesn't. And the stability of that truth is going to carry us a long way. So remember last year, the words the Lord gave us were draw near, hold fast. And what was the other one, Laura? You wrote those down.
Don't waver.
Don't waver, yes. This year is, He doesn't change. See, last year's word gave us wiggle room. We could have changed by wavering, but we chose not to. Because He doesn't waver. A couple of verses this morning from the book of Numbers 23:13. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? If you take the more than 8,000 promises that God has made to us, in this precious book, this banned in many countries of the world, if there's nothing to it, why are people so afraid of it? Why do they try to get rid of it? Why do people go to jail for getting caught with a Bible? And yet, why is it when they're in jail, they find a Bible? Isn't that rather silly? Numbers 23:19. God would be lying if he gave us his word and then he said something else or he did something else. He could lie, but he doesn't. The fact of his nature and his character is that he never will. He could, but he just doesn't. Psalm 102 verse 27 says this, "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." God does not have an expected expiration date on his life. That's good to know, that when it's time for me to expire, he'll still be God, he'll still be there, and I show up and he'll say, "Been waiting for you, boy, where you been?" That'll be Matt, though. He'll say that, too. I love it. I'm looking forward to that. I want to see all these rascals that went on to glory before us. Probably give us the guided tour. They got the place down pat by now. That's exciting. You see, he never changes. He never takes us. He always receives us. There's a difference. He receives us. Malachi 3:6 is the verse that says, "I am the Lord, I change not." That's the first part of the verse. And when you think about his plan not changing, lots of things come to mind. One of them is from the book of James that talks about good gifts. Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all of heaven's lights. And unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. That's James 1:17. All these words that are confirming the fact that he won't change. He'll never be stronger or weaker. The influences that cause changes in our lives have no effect on God. We change lots of ways, but that doesn't affect him. He never has a bad day. I'm so glad for that. I'm so looking forward to every new day because I know God's going to have a great day. And he made each day for you so that you could have one too. Because he shares everything with you. I can't imagine God having a bad day. Man. We could have the beginning of one, but it doesn't have to end. It's not how we start, it's how we end. His knowledge and wisdom, that's never going to increase or diminish because he is wisdom. He is knowledge. And he's the fullness of those, so that will never change either. You need knowledge, you need wisdom for a situation, ask him. James chapter 1 says that if any of you lack of God, but let him ask in faith, for God gives liberally and he upbraids not. That means God's not going to make you feel bad because you came to realize you needed some wisdom that didn't come from you and that you needed an exterior source. He's not going to get on your case because you asked him for wisdom. He is wisdom, and he's made unto us his wisdom. A word at a time, if that's all you need. But wisdom for planning, wisdom for expecting, wisdom for your walk, wisdom for the gifts, how to exercise them, how to use them, how to make your talents count for the Lord. Wisdom to lay out sound financial planning in your families. Things that don't happen in the political arena. It's really hard to be disciplined spending other people's money. I'd love to try that sometime just to see how it felt. Wouldn't you? Have an unlimited supply of money by extortion called taxes? And you could just spend as much as you wanted, and when you ran out, you just take more. See, God doesn't do that, but he gives. and he never runs out. Whatever it is you have need of, he'll never run out of it. That's why he meets our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. Ephesians 4:13. That's his standard. He doesn't compromise or change his values. And God doesn't have mood swings. I made that comment earlier in the day. Boy, I've known people whose mood swung so far I thought they'd hang themselves before the day was over. My goodness. I didn't know people could change so often in such a short span of time. Though that amazes me. And I'm so thankful that God doesn't do that. If people move you that much, there's something wrong. Usually you'll find that if people get under your skin, maybe it's not thick enough. You can't blame the people. See, maybe we need to grow up in that area. Maybe we need to let the Spirit work more in our hearts. There's a lot to be learned from this. Life and its uncertainties may shake you or me, but not God. He's the rock of ages and his rock don't move. Rock and roll, he's the rock that don't roll. Hallelujah. That's a good word. If you cling to him, his strength will sustain you. And our own strength, we know very quickly, our endurance, our physical strength, our spiritual strength. And that's why the world thinks that Christians are wimpy. We always got to cling to this Jesus guy. Oh yeah, I admit it. Took 34 years before I figured it out. But it did, finally. So did you. I'm glad we can hold on to him. Because when the winds really start blowing and things start shaking and falling apart, look at how quick New Jersey and New York fell apart in one storm. That's how quick things can change around us. Here today, gone tomorrow, poof. But if we cling to the Lord and hold fast to him, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, talk radio, left-wing bias news media, the Rutland Heretic newspaper, can't even spell people's names right, why in the world would you pay to have that thing delivered to your doorsteps? Why pay for bad news? All you got to do is listen. And why do we believe it? But we won't believe God sometimes. It's time. His plan is unchangeable. It existed from before the foundation of the world, before there was anything. He had a plan. And he spoke it in faith. Just imagine all that was created was in the mind of God. Everything. What a plan. It fascinates me that so many people are so afraid the earth's going to get drawn into the sun and burned up. Wow, what a pathetic future that would be. What a malfunction on God's part. Do you realize every day when the sun comes up, it sets 8 minutes later now than it was on the shortest day? If you notice that, it sets at 4:20 now instead of 4:12, and it comes up at 7:13 instead of 7:11 2 days ago. How does the magnificence of that absolute perfect timing every year, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, ever since these things were created, the absolute perfection that the solar system is, that the universe and the stars, everything that God created, if all these things that scientists that got a brain the size of a pea and a dinosaur, compared to the wisdom and the knowledge of God who created all of these things, and they're so afraid of all of these things happening. People profit on fear. But we profit on faith in what God has done. I just think it's awesome. I'm so fascinated, and go to India or go to Europe, and I've been to Africa, and I look up in the sky and I see different constellations, because in the southern hemisphere everything is different. It's like the same, it's the same heavens, but from a different perspective. And not one star falls out of its place. Not one planet escapes the gravitational pull of the sun. Not one moon going around a planet is going to come out of orbit and crash into us. And why? Because God is perfect. His ways are sure and just and perfect. Everything that he created as part of his plan is perfect. Why should we expect anything less in the new year coming? I don't even have to look at my notes. I'm just so filled with all these things that I've been thinking about for 2 weeks, just for today. This has refreshed me, because it's been like a sabbatical from bad news for 2 weeks. I decided I weren't going to listen to any of it and just see what God said. Gosh, I like his news better. It's always good. Because if I get filled up enough with this, then when I do get exposed to some bad news in my ears, I can say, yeah, but that's man. What about God? See, I have this thing called the God factor. People can tell me the bad situations and all that's going on, and I say, yeah, but you're missing something. What if you put God in the formula? Doesn't that change things? We have to see things differently. If we see them from a heavenly vision, then we see things very differently. Like, that's a good difference that I like. His unchanging words equipped us with timeless truths. In 1,000,000 years, when you've been with the Lord 999,991 days, you'll find that in all that time, his word hasn't changed one bit. That's how sure we can be in his promises to us. Oh, I'm excited about a new year. I'm believing God for a lot of neat things. Why? Because he's already promised them. And they're going to come to pass. Every one of his promises comes to pass. Even if I don't live to see it, it doesn't mean it won't happen. If he wrote it, it's going to happen. Many things have, and there are a lot more that are going to. But we can count on that. So my future looks very stable and steady, because it's fixed in him. I could wreck it this afternoon, for me, if I wanted to. But I'd rather just let him carry me along. I probably worked as angels overtime a few times in my life. But they're great. Did you know that God's angels were sent to serve you? Did you know that? They're on assignment. They've come to serve you. Sometimes people think that angels are greater creatures than you are. But God created you and his angels, and his angels were given, they have an assignment to watch over you, to keep you. I have no idea how many disasters his angels have kept me from. I can imagine a few. But what about the times that I didn't know? And they were right there. Right there every day. They're not leaving. There's four on this property. They've been here for almost 25 years. And they're not cold today. They never quit. They never give up. They're faithful. They serve the Lord every day, day and night. Never take a day off. They don't get time and a half for overtime. Don't have to pay them holiday pay, vacation pay. They stand guard 24/7 over your life, each and every one of you. Oh my. Isn't that awesome? And those things are never going to change, because God doesn't change. He'll always be the great I am. When Moses asked God, "What shall I tell Pharaoh?" When that voice in that burning bush spoke, God told Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am, and that I am sent you. Well, that same I am sent you. That same I am sent me. And he is the great I am. He is, he was, and he always will be. In Hebrews 13, very famous, 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And so I just close this out today with, we should all leave here in great spirits, just knowing that in two more days, God is going to be just as good and just as faithful as he is today. And at the stroke of midnight, I go to sleep at 10. I don't even wait to see the ball fall. I can watch rehash news the next morning. I'm not going to waste any sleep over that silly thing. I'd rather pray real good and sleep good and wake up the next day with a glorious new hope, bouncing my step, looking up, looking down, not looking backwards, not looking to the left or the right, but looking forward and go forward with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Who needs prayer? God is faithful.